In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. This morning's gospel, we heard about a crisis of faith. And it's not just Thomas's crisis of faith, but all of the disciples were in the midst of a crisis after Christ's crucifixion. They had put all of their hopes in him, and before his cross, even though he had explained to them what was going to happen to them, they didn't get it. It was beyond their understanding. And so when he was crucified, when he was dead and buried, they lost their way. They didn't know what to do. And so they hid themselves. They hid themselves and locked themselves behind closed doors. You know, we talk about Thomas's doubt. But St. Mark tells us in his gospel that all the disciples doubted. When the myrrh-bearing women came, bearing them the tale that they had seen angels who had announced that Christ was risen from the dead and even seen the Lord himself, they would not believe them. So Thomas is not the only doubter in this room. These are all men who are struggling with their faith. But Christ comes to them. He comes to them and he brings them peace. He comes to them and he restores their faith. These men who were hiding in that room, we hear just a short time later, we hear in the Acts of the Apostles that was just read today, that they were bravely proclaiming Christ in the midst of the temple itself. Everyone else, even those who believed in Christ, were kind of reticent. It says no one would join them in the temple, but there were many that were starting to believe. But these disciples were transformed into courageous apostles. Their fear was taken away from them and their doubt, and instead they had great boldness afterwards to proclaim the gospel of Christ in spite of all threats of persecution. These disciples, the 11 without, or the 10 without Thomas, they receive Christ with great joy, and he sends them forth with a calling. But when Thomas hears the news, as we heard, he will not believe. In fact, the Greek states it very emphatically. You know, in English, a double negative makes a positive. But in Greek, a double negative makes a really big negative. And here we have a double negative. It's basically, he says, unless I see, I absolutely will never believe. You know, we might forgive Thomas, or we might consider him a doubter if he was merely perplexed by this news. An understandable sort of perplexity, like, how can this be? Sort of like the Virgin Mary at the Annunciation. The angel tells her, you're going to give birth to the Son of God as a virgin. And she says, how's that going to happen? That's an understandable kind of perplexity. But this defiant, I absolutely will not believe, is a refusal to trust again. So we see in this fear and in this doubt, really an enormous spiritual cloud hanging over the disciples. Those disciples that locked the doors against the Jews. It's important to note that by their fear, they were locking themselves in as well. That's even more significant, not just locking the Jews out, but locking themselves into that room. How often do we do that as a result of our fear, as a result of our doubt? We put up barriers towards other people. We put up barriers towards God. We don't open ourselves up to His presence in us, and we don't allow ourselves to go out and do what He's called us to do because of fear. Likewise, this doubt that Thomas expresses, this is a spiritual wound in his soul. Like the other disciples, he'd put his trust in Christ, and when that trust, when that hope had seemingly been broken, he was unwilling to make himself vulnerable again in order to kind of protect himself, putting up those barriers that fear and doubt cause us to erect. But Christ comes also to Thomas, and he also brings him peace and transforms him from this radical doubter to the proclaimer of Christ in two natures: my Lord as a human being and my God. My Lord and my God, he exclaims, confessing Christ as the God-man, the glorious God-man. So how does Christ restore their faith? How does he overcome their fear and their doubt? In both cases, he comes bringing peace. He comes and exclaims, "Peace to you." Now, when we hear this "peace be to you," which is used in all of our services, it sounds like a wish. Like, "Oh, I hope you have peace." Sort of like, "Good morning, I hope your morning is good." But biblical scholars, commentators, note that that doesn't seem to be the way that it's used in the Bible. That this phrase is not actually a common greeting in the Bible. It's used by angels or by the Lord Himself when He encounters people, when He comes to meet people. And more than just a wish, it's an authoritative grant of peace. He says, "You now have peace because I've given it to you. Peace to you. Receive this peace that I am giving you now." And the way that he gives peace to them is by showing them his wounds. That happens in both cases. When Christ comes to the disciples huddled in the room, he says, "Peace to you." And then he shows them his hands and his feet. And notice that it's only after he shows them the wounds that it says the disciples were then glad when they saw the Lord. Also, Thomas, when he comes to Thomas, he says, "Peace to you." But then he shows him his wounds. And as a result of that, Thomas exclaims, "My Lord and my God." His transformation, this explosion of peace through faith that comes to him, and the joy that comes along with that, all of that comes as a result of seeing Christ's wounds. There's a danger here on the other side of Pascha that we sort of forget everything that came before, and we're like, "Yay, Jesus is alive, yay," you know. But everything that led up to that is significant and actually gives greater meaning to Christ's resurrection. The wounds that he encounters show the disciples. So this resurrected Christ showing them his wounds is a demonstration that the world, through every evil it had against the Lord, and yet he overcame them all. It's a demonstration of what he had proclaimed to his disciples before his cross. He says, do not be afraid, I have overcome the world. Those healed wounds in the risen Christ demonstrate his victory. A victory that came at a cost, but a victory that he also promises to us. Those disciples then were able to go out into the world proclaiming his gospel fearlessly because they knew no matter what the world threw at them, they would come through just as Christ came through because he had promised them the same victory, the same resurrection. And so, on the other side of Pascha, let us retain the memory of those wounds, but knowing that they are now healed wounds. They are no longer marks of pain and injury, but marks of victory. And they give us hope, they give us courage to follow our Lord fearlessly wherever he leads, to the glory of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen. Christ is risen.
Truly.